This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for Making Yourself at Home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning and welcome back to Making Yourself at Home on 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice, Access Radio Taranaki. And we are welcoming in the new year with just the usual host crew, Alina and Clara, and myself, Brian. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
And with this episode, we do not have a guest, so we're just going to kind of jam and talk about what we did over our breaks.
Yeah, we will do that. Looking forward to that, and I'm so excited to catch up with you guys again.
Alina, yeah. It's been a while since you've been behind the microphone in here, I think.
Yes, maybe. It was a while. It feels like that. Yeah. How was your Christmas and holidays, and what did you have done?
For me, Clara, it was super special this time because my family came to visit from Spain. My brother, my mom, and my niece, my brother's daughter, Valentina, and they stayed here for 3 weeks, and we traveled a little bit around the North Island and the South. And for my brother and my niece, it was the first time they came to New Zealand, and it was so special to be with them and show them around and all the things we did, spending time together. Yeah, lots of memories to keep and think. And I think my niece will remember when she grows older.
Oh, amazing.
Because she's 11 now, which I think is a nice age to do a trip like this that you will remember when you get older.
Yeah. And it was her first time in New Zealand?
Yes.
And your mom and your brother also first time?
My brother as well. And my mom came with my dad the first Christmas that I arrived here. But that was 8 years ago.
Wow.
So, and we didn't go to the South Island. So for my mom, all the things we did in the South were also new.
Amazing. And you had some snow and you had some mountain and you had a little bit of everything, right?
A little bit of everything, yes. A little bit of going to the beach, going to the mountains. We even flew in a helicopter.
Did you? Wow.
Yes, we did that last minute because, we saw it when we were down in Mount Cook and we were not sure about doing it or not, but then we thought, well, none of us have done it, and it's perhaps once in a lifetime, and what better place to do it than here all together for the first time.
Yeah, I'm always afraid to go on helicopters because they, quite small, and the turbulence are quite, it's quite shaky. Was it like that?
I was surprised. I don't know if, Brian, if you have
not been in a helicopter.
It was my first time, and I always get sick in transport, on the road or at sea. I will get very seasick, so I was concerned about getting sick in the air, but I wasn't. I was surprised that it was like very gentle, no turbulences. Perhaps it was because there was no wind or something, but
lucky you.
It was not scary at all.
So how was it playing host to people coming from overseas?
I really enjoyed, but it's also because I think I like that. I like organizing and showing around whenever someone is visiting. It's true that you want to make it like the best possible experience for them, and sometimes you have to let go a little bit of all that control because there's many things that you cannot control and just focus on spending time together. But it was really nice. New Zealand is so different that for example, my niece going barefoot was something that she was curious to do, and she was like asking, can I go barefoot? I was like, yeah, you can, really? I was like, yes, okay, let's try, let's do it.
Yeah, barefoot is quite a new thing for people who are coming from Europe, right?
Yes.
Because we always have shoes and the best shoes in town and...
Yeah, can we go to the park and just look at the stars in the middle of the night? And we did
amazing.
That when we were in Auckland, for example. Which of course you can do that anywhere, but I think here in New Zealand they experience that people are less judgy perhaps, so like people will not judge you as well as much, as in some countries in Europe, so yeah. Everyone is focused on their own thing and they don't care.
Yeah, what other people think or do, or like, you know, going barefoot or looking at the stars.
Yeah, just like, okay, whatever.
Because I remember that when my mother-in-law was here second time, one night my husband just left around 9:30 and I didn't know where he is, and he just wrote me a text. I took my mother to see the stars because she wanted to see the stars, and I was thinking, oh yeah, this is sweet. And I think you have this kind of ideas only in New Zealand maybe.
Yes. Yeah, you feel like everything is possible and that people will not think like you are crazy if they see you in the park at night, for example.
Exactly, right. Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
And what about you? Like, Brian, what were you up to?
I had a staycation.
Nice. Mm.
I love just hanging out in Taranaki and enjoying the easygoing vibe of it all. I don't like to be busy, and I don't like the hectic go situation the holidays can often bring. So I was happily just staying at home. Right before Christmas, we did spend a 3-night stay in a cabin up on the hill in the Waiiti holiday park. Mm. It was absolutely incredible. The weather was perfect, super sunny. Super chilled out there, really nice walks on the beach. And that's a really, I've never heard anybody talk about it before, and really spectacular spot. So anybody that's looking for something to do in Taranaki, I'd highly recommend going over to Waiiti. I'm sure it got packed during the holiday period. There's a lot of cabins and campsites there. And fortunately, my girlfriend's mate offered us the ability to stay up there. Yeah. So.
Amazing. Nice.
Very, very nice. And besides that, just going to the Festival of Lights and seeing some music. Saw Alina and her family there at least once. And enjoying the music scene there and the lights. And getting back to the disc golf course. My tennis elbow is healed, so back to playing right-handed, which is really nice, and hanging out with friends on the disc golf course, which is really great. Unfortunately, I was not able to play in the big tournament in Inglewood last weekend. That went really well, I guess. It was really good weather, and not sure how many Americans came over for that, but they seemed to have a really, really good time. The professional disc golfers that came and are taking part of the Tour Down Under disc golf tour that's taking place this summer, which is pretty cool.
Amazing. Lots of good things, you know, especially the disc
things
one.
For a staycation.
Yeah.
Yes, staycation. I never heard about that.
Was there something special for New Year's Eve at the park or?
Just music.
Okay.
And we actually made it to 12 o'clock midnight. So,
oh, well done.
Yeah, it was a bit of a struggle. We beat the crowd out. We weren't sure we'd make it till midnight. We're morning people. But we actually made it this year. So that's the first time in a while, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. The park was amazing this year. I think it's so many people there and a lot of people dancing. And it was so nice to see Brian and Angelique there having a boogie.
Having a boogie. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
I think this is still happening until next weekend.
Can still go and see some more lights and do some more activities. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well
cool.
done.
Yeah, all right, so bring us up to date with you, Alina, please.
This year I was, we had planned to do a house sitting in Auckland, but it didn't happen, unfortunately. And we had a beautiful visit from our friend Anais and her partner, Jose, and it was such a lovely time. Because usually, you know, for Christmas we had my mom here, and last year she was here for 2 months, which was great, and we had such a great time. But this year she was not here. It was a little bit sad. But we spent some time with my Romanian friends doing some Romanian food and eating. And then was lovely that Anais and Jose came, and we had such a good time together. They were building for the kids a house, and we did some acro yoga.
And how was that?
Yeah, it was amazing. At the beginning, we were a little bit reluctant, you know. We didn't know what it is. And, you know, I have a German husband who is always reluctant of new things. But at the end, Jose and Kai were becoming good friends. And after 5 days, they left and we were very sad. My son was crying. And I think all of us, we cried a little bit because we got so good with them.
Yeah, they are lovely people.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really nice to, you know, to have like a family during the school, the holiday. So it was amazing to do that. So we did a lot of things around the house, gardening and stuff like that. And kids enjoying us and we enjoying them. So also the Festival of Lights. Yeah.
Did you go to a studio for the acro yoga?
No, they just did it on our carpet.
Okay.
Yeah, in the kitchen. At home.
Yeah, at home. Yeah, yeah. And also Jose, he's a great massage. I didn't know. He does this kind of massage that I've never had before. Yeah. And yeah, great people. I would like that they move to Taranaki, but I understand that Queenstown is more for them, but it's always nice to have them here.
Yeah, well, you never know.
You never know, maybe they move.
You never know, but yeah, I really enjoy hanging out with them. So yeah, hopefully they will be back at some point, even though it might be visiting, and they can share all those offerings with the community here
in
Taranaki.
Yes, because I think it's amazing to have something new like acro yoga I've never done before, and also the kind of massage that Jose does is more like not only lying down and receiving massage, but you have to also work a little bit while he's doing that. So really amazing for my husband, for Kai, that afterwards he didn't have so much pain on his back. So highly recommended. Yeah, amazing.
Nice. Did you do a face yoga with Anais?
No,
well?
I didn't. No. But yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I think here in New Zealand, what I really appreciate, like people being happy for what they have, you know, like Anais and Jose, they were so happy with their life in the caravan and living in, you know, simple things. I think you can't have this in Europe so much like you have it here.
Yeah. I agree that perhaps the lifestyle here makes you more
connected
and
to the earth,
perhaps
right?
More grounded.
Yeah.
And because everything is a little bit slower, it's not so fast paced, perhaps you have time to appreciate more the small things.
To appreciate things, right? Yeah. And we learn, I think, this holiday how to be more grateful, especially when, you know, with the kids when we have dinner on the table and everybody's like, okay, we put the food, we eat. But this time we were just, you know, we arranged a table, everybody participated, and then everybody was waiting until I was also on the table, you know, like, because till now, you know, everybody's hungry, you eat fast, you don't wait for the cook to come there.
Okay.
So it was quite special that I was waited until I also sit down, and then we acknowledge the food and then we eat.
Yeah.
So
what
something
things
that
did
we
you? What things did you cook from Romania? You mentioned that you were cooking with a friend from Romania that lives here as well.
Yeah, we cooked. I made some soup. It's a special beef soup only with vegetables, beef and vegetables. And we did some salads. We like to do this kind of eggplant salad with mayonnaise. So we make handmade mayonnaise, homemade.
Okay.
And some other sweet stuff, the round things, pastry. In Romania, you call them cornulețe, and they have this kind of Turkish delight inside. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so amazing, yeah. So we enjoy also that, you know, having the traditions. And I think it's so important to have the traditions
those.
And can share with somebody during the Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys? Did you do something like special from your country, like something to eat
for New Year's or Christmas Eve? My mom did tortilla de patata.
Oh, nice.
Which is a Spanish dish, and it was yum. And then my niece did a soup, that she likes cooking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she likes cooking even if she's little. And then we had sushi from Lily as well, which was
amazing.
Also nice for starters. That was for Christmas. Yeah, also we had some fudge from Spain that we call turrón.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't eat it.
You didn't eat it?
No,
so your mother was bringing it.
We were so full with all the other things. But it was also nice to introduce my family to my people here.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was really nice. Esteb, you,
very
we missed
special.
You. Yeah, that was the only thing that... and then for New Year's, we were having dinner out. We stayed in a place, in a thermal place in the South Island,
amazing.
Close to Lewis Pass. Very, very recommended. It's Marulla Springs, it's called.
Ah, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's worth going there.
Okay.
Yeah. So we stayed there and had dinner there.
Where's that nearby?
It's 2 hours and a half from Christchurch, and
okay.
also
okay.
2 hours and a half from Kaikoura.
Kaikoura.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
So it's past Hammer Springs. You have to continue driving.
Yeah.
Through Lewis Pass, and then, it's there. Yeah.
Oh,
so
it's
we
amazing.
Had dinner there on New Year's Eve, so we didn't cook, which was also nice.
Yeah, and I think time with family is the most important, right? And sharing food is so important. What about you, Brian? Did you have some special...
Christmas Eve day, we did a nice breakfast cook-up or brunch cook-up with, we enjoy getting the take from home, like bake at home bread from the grocery store.
Yeah.
And instead of baking it, we just slice it as it is and then toast it. And that works really well. Really nice sourdough. And then, that night, Angelique took an Indian cooking course some time back, and so we made a nice, really nice curry that I really enjoyed.
Nice.
Yeah, so lots of good food on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think Christmas Day we spent, it was a really nice day at the beach and went to Back Beach and got some sun. Good Christmas.
Good Christmas,
It's a weird thing being here in the summer for Christmas.
It's always interesting, right? This kind of the weather, I feel. Like, I was very happy when it was raining. It was a day during Christmas when it was raining, and I was so happy that it was raining because I felt more like home rather than when it's really hot. It feels more like European, a little bit colder. And
European Christmas.
Yes. So
in
I was,
cold.
I'm missing that. I miss the snow. I miss the cold time. Yeah, what about you guys? Do you feel like the weather is like suiting you for Christmas or?
I like warm weather. So
okay.
I like warm weather all the year round if I could choose. But it's true that Christmas feels odd with warm weather still for me after 8 years being here and after, it is still odd to think we are in December and we are in the beach. For example, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah, you enjoy it, right?
Yeah, but it's true that when I have been in the Northern Hemisphere for Christmas after living here, you have more that Christmas spirit because of the snow and, I don't know, like getting home and cozy, warm drinks, hot chocolates.
Hot chocolate and hot wine, right? Yeah. And how is in U.S. for Christmas? Is it cold or is it like...
Where I grew up, it can be snowy, which is always nice to have a white Christmas.
Do you? Which part of America you are?
Ohio, which is kind of in the northeastern-ish, not too far northeast, but it's considered the Midwest, even though it's not very far west. Mm. That's just kind of how it's known because at one point that was west during the settling of the United States. Because it's on the western side of the Appalachian Mountains. So that at one point was the frontier. But there's Lake Erie to the north, which, so we're up near Canada, and sometimes the jet stream, which is a, some sort of weather pattern, dips down and brings a lot of cold air and winter weather to Columbus in the winter. It snowed when I was back in the States in late November on Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And it usually, especially lately, has not snowed much during Thanksgiving at the end of November. Decent little snow, which is really nice to see because I haven't seen snow in a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like my mother-in-law, she was sending a lot of pictures for us, you know, with snow. Mm. Germany was, you know, beautiful Christmas with snow and kids on the sleigh. And I was so much missing that, right?
It has been snowing in many places in Europe this Christmas, no?
Mm. Yes, yeah. Yeah, amazing. Do you guys have any, like, traditions that you kept during Christmas? Like, something besides the food, right? Do you have any, like, Santa Claus is coming? Like, you know, I know in New Zealand you have this kind of elf that it's coming, and each day he's changing the place in the house. So I found that we don't have this kind of thing in Romania.
I think that's becoming international. We didn't have that in Spain, but it arrived. Don't know where it is originally from. I don't know if it is originally from here.
Yeah.
Do you know, Brian?
I know nothing about this.
You don't know this elf, right?
I think perhaps it's an international thing because I think now it's everywhere. Like the elf on the shelf, I think. Yeah, it changes every day.
Every day, yeah. Like
doing some naughty things.
Exactly, So each time the elf in the morning, it's somewhere else in the house and does naughty things. And the kids are very excited about that. And they ask me each year to have this elf. And I can't still get into this tradition to have an elf. So I'm looking for maybe next year. This year. Yeah. I will be more into that.
For Christmas 2026. No, we don't have, we didn't have that in the past in Spain when I grew up. I don't know if these days they do it. In Spain, we have the tradition of the 12 grapes at midnight in New Year's Eve. But with my family this year, we were asleep.
You were asleep.
So, we didn't arrive. We didn't stay awake until midnight. But this year was different because the experience was to leave Christmas in New Zealand and enjoy that. So we were not very caught up into keeping all the traditions that you normally do when you were at home. We decided it was better to be flexible with that. But in Spain normally people do that, and you have to like eat them very quickly because you eat them
12 grapes
with the tones of the clock. So it's just like 1, 2, 3, 4 like that.
Really?
12.
No, I didn't know that.
So you have to be very careful to swallow them properly.
There were no accidents in Spain, like people
sometimes like people like put all of them on the mouth and then like
wow,
like a chipmunk.
swallow them later. Sometimes I have done it with olives instead of grapes or pieces of chocolate. And it's good luck. If you are able to eat all of them, it means it will be good luck.
It's quite interesting that each country has their tradition. I mean, I remember when I was small, for Christmas and New Year. So when New Year's come, when it's the first, then we start eating more, like 12 in the night, all the Romanians, they come start eating and dancing and because this is when the New Year starts. So the New Year has to come and, you know, the way you start the New Year, you will be the older year. So we say if we are sleeping, then we will all year sleep. So if we are dancing all year, we will dance.
I like that tradition.
So
were you dancing at midnight?
Yeah, usually we were dancing. Yeah.
This
dancing
year?
And this year, no, we were not dancing. We were sleeping.
Yeah, I think we are all morning people around here.
We are all morning people, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Brian? Do you have any tradition?
Not really. It's just spending time with family.
Family,
usually on Christmas Day, which isn't super typical around the world, it doesn't seem like.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other places besides the U.S. seems to do Christmas Eve as more of the celebration. But yeah, it's getting together with family. There can be a Christmas lunch, early dinner kind of thing. Watching football is kind of a...
watching football.
American football. So yeah, just sitting on the couch and
So do they play, or it's like already matches that have already happened, or are they like actually playing on
Christmas? They're actually playing on
Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Christmas Day. Yeah.
Ah, so yeah, the players, they cannot spend the time with their family. No, because they are playing.
Yeah.
In maybe Spain, I'm getting that next happen. Thanksgiving, actually. Not sure.
It's been
a while since I've been in the States for Thanksgiving or for Christmas.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I feel in New Zealand we started this kind of custom with a Secret Santa, which I never had in Romania. I've never heard about Secret Santa. So we did that. And I think it's much nicer because we gather with all the Romanians. And we didn't have to buy for everybody one present. So everybody bought one for one person.
Okay.
I think it's cheaper in New Zealand than in Romania when you have to buy to everyone.
I think it's a good thing to do. Normally with the family, you will buy for everyone. But I think like each family now is starting to have their own traditions and perhaps like only gifts for the kids. It depends. I think it changes. So in Spain, we also have the Three Kings. That come in January.
Three Kings, yeah, okay.
Yeah, on the 5th, the morning of the 6th or the 5th. Now I am confused. I think it's the 6th in the morning.
Yeah.
They also bring gifts. So it's like Santa and then the Three Kings.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
But for my family, the Three Kings this year has been the trip. So
amazing.
That was the gift from the Three Kings. So yes. We didn't have extra presents, yeah.
And I'm curious about you guys. Did you make your own 2026 resolutions and think about what you want to desire for the new year? Or
I did reflecting. And
you did, okay.
Yeah, I came up with a new morning routine for myself.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, in my past, I've really focused on winning the morning, getting starting the day right, and letting that set the tone for the rest of the day, and getting an early win so that no matter what, it's been a successful day.
Amazing. What time? So do you have like a time schedule? Do you want to share with us?
No, I'm not curious, really. Like I wake up pretty early typically. Mm. But before it was quite sedentary because I used to journal every day. Mm. But the journaling and reading, it got pretty stale. And now I'm right out the door first thing to go for a decent little 25-30 minute walk, just nice in the summer. We'll see how that holds in the winter. Starting the day moving has been huge for me.
Amazing.
And then meditating, and then I've actually developed this AI prompt that I'm using as a neuroplasticity and executive function coach.
Yeah.
And so start the day with mental exercises, and it helps me to focus on my productivity skills. It's pretty cool morning routine.
Wow.
Now
nice. What time do you wake up?
Between 6 and 7
six
every
and
day
seven.
Yeah,
so
sometimes
you,
earlier.
That's doable. I was thinking more 5. Yeah, I was imagining 5 because
And it's like, do you set your alarm clock or is your body automatically, right?
I'm automatically up before 7 for sure. Depends on how well I slept the night before. Between 6 and 6:30 is pretty typical.
Amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is your New Year's resolution.
That's kind of my New Year's thing. New Year's new thing.
Amazing. What about you, Clara?
I have started to reflect about that this week. Yeah, because my family left last week. So during the trip, I was not thinking about that at all. And then when they left, it was like, oh, we are in 2026 already.
We are here, right?
It's January. It's almost mid-January. So I have started to reflect on that. But talking with a friend from Spain, my best friend there, she shared with me something that I think I'm going to do because I don't know if I believe in like these like intentions that then will stress you out. And she shared with me that she has done this bingo matrix with, I think she said like 6x5, with things that she wants to do, but things that are doable and fun. I don't know, like because she doesn't live by the ocean, for example, one could be first swim in the ocean, for the year. That doesn't affect us because we can sleep in the ocean, luckily, whenever we want. But I was thinking that's a, so in that matrix, you will introduce like really like big ones, for example, buy a house or, yeah, like, I don't know, like change career or a new role, but also with other things that are easy and fun. And I really like that. And that idea, because then you are like crossing the things as you go through them, and then see if you can do bingo, bingo line.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's that's the fun part. Yeah. So, so if you only have like big things, perhaps that won't happen until December or October or November. But if you add also other little enjoyable things, sounds fun. Yeah, sounds I am planning to do that. Fun. Perhaps this weekend I will. Sit down and put some time to do that.
Yeah, maybe we can do it together.
Yes,
that would
be
a great
fun.
Activity. Yes. Yeah. Bingo, I've never done that before.
Bingo. No, I have never done that. I have done just the normal, like, goals and intentions. And
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So what about you? Do you have something in mind already?
Yeah.
That you would like for this year?
Yeah, my goal is to earn enough money to buy a ticket to go to Romania. So it's mainly, I would like to visit my family for Christmas this year. So I put a goal to, I would like to do an online course that I will start in June or July. And that program is to found a ticket for me to go to Romania. So this is one of my biggest goals. So I also ask AI, what should I do each month in order to exceed that goal? So I'm trying to do each week some small goals in order to reach that.
Okay.
So this is my goal this year, mainly. And also spending time with my kids more than before and being kind with them much more than rather than to be a little bit, you know, whenever you go home, you take everything on your family. So this year, I would like to be more kind with them. Yeah, it's a big one.
I can't imagine you not being kind.
Yeah, I know.
I'm honest.
I had a good feedback from my son. He said, because I asked him, this last year he had a teacher who was a little bit more, disciplined. And I asked him, who is more angry, his teacher or me? And he said, "Oh, the teacher." So I took it as a good sign. So I'm not so angry, like I think I am.
So you said you'll be offering a online course?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
About what?
So the course will be. It's called That's Me, and it's for people who like to go through knowing themselves more and go a little bit or discovering their identity. And know who they really are beneath all the masks that we put for everyone. And it's more like a meditation and somatic work that I will do online. And it's for everybody who wants to be their own selves and discover who they really are beneath all this mask that the society created around us. So I'm planning to do that. And looking forward to have maximum 10 people who can join. People can be around the world. So I'm trying to do like a perfect time, especially like 6 a.m. in the morning. I think it's a perfect time for everybody around the world. So looking forward to that.
Nice. Oh, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. So
When you are further down the track, you can tell us more and we can talk more about it.
Do you have an accountability partner?
No, I don't have. Maybe you can be my accountability partner.
my AI is actually turning out to be an accountability thing. Because every day I say good morning and it asks me how my to-do list from the day before was. And it at the end of the session, it asks me what my to-do list, my 3 to 5 things that I'm doing that day are. So it'll say, did you do your 3 things yesterday, this, and this, and how did that go? And honestly, even though I'm not face-to-face with somebody, the fact I need to communicate whether I did what I was planning to do or not is actually a decent amount of accountability for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And do you have to have an app for that, or you can just access free?
I use Perplexity as my AI. So in Perplexity, you can create different spaces that are separate from the rest of your threads. So within this space, you can go in the background and give a background instruction. It's not a prompt in the thread, but it's running in the background. And so that's where I gave it the instructions to be the neuroplasticity and executive function coach. Everything there. And I started personalizing it more. I think I asked AI to give me the prompts on how to do that. Yeah. And then from that, I think I said, give me 3 prompts to be a neuroplasticity and executive function coach. And then I picked the one that made the most sense to me. And as I started using it, started to go back and revise the system prompt. That's where I added, ask me what my to-do list is for the rest of the day. And it said, okay, I'll do that. And I will ask you how it goes the next morning. That's kind of my built-in accountability. Amazing. Yeah, it's super cool. I'll share the prompts
details,
with you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you do like voice or do you have to write?
Unfortunately.
You have to write it, right?
Yeah.
Was imagining it with voice. I don't know why. Because I am starting to use more AI with voice lately. And it has been working nice.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You
have to share it with ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. Okay. Yeah.
So originally, the AI didn't recognize that it couldn't speak with me, so I had to go back into that system prompt and say, this all needs to be text-based because you can't talk to me. And so, oh yeah, I can't talk to you. Mm-hmm. that's something I had to tweak a little bit.
Wow.
And yeah, right now it's just text-based. It would be, I'm now considering vibe coding an application so that it has that itself and so that it can talk and make mm-hmm. noises and do its own timers and everything. Because a lot of the exercises are time limited, so I have to set my own timer. But we'll see if I take the time to do that.
Yes.
But it would be really, I think the whole, the programming, AI programming has improved dramatically. Vibe coding, that's mm-hmm. a really exciting thing that's taking place in that field now.
Yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I'm not technology savvy, would be great to have somebody, you know, especially in our group to know how to use all this AI.
Mm.
Because sometimes it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, there's great tutorials on YouTube and everything, and just even using AI as the tutor. Something that stood out dramatically to me when going through this this coaching was just how personalized it becomes and knowing, so anybody that hasn't listened to the episode about me talking about El Salvador, I'm really interested in what's happening
yes,
in El Salvador.
Yeah.
And a couple months ago, they announced that they're updating their education system so that each student has their own personal AI tutor, an educator. And it sounds like a big deal. And then when I started using this, my own coaching system, everything lined up. It was like, wow, using AI as an educator is super, super powerful because it is so personalized and it'll tweak the lesson plan to what the person that's using it needs and it remembers how it is. And it, because say I didn't do some to-do from the day before, it'll ask me why I didn't get around to it. And then it'll develop an exercise for me to improve on that thing. And one time, it even incorporated the thing that I didn't do the day before into the lesson. So it was like a double tick box. It not only did the exercise on how to do the thing, but I actually got to do the tick box because it was left over from the day before, and I accomplished it during the exercise.
Wow,
it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, and I think sometimes it's like a little bit worrying me. You know, like for example, you say about teachers and everything that. You know, that AI will take over a lot of jobs, but in the same time, if we know how to use it, you know, it will help us.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I resonate with you with the worrying. Yeah, I guess there will have to be balance, like with everything. No, there's plenty of uses for AI, but it cannot do everything. People are still needed.
I mean, like human touch will always be needed, right?
But if you can be more productive using those tools, and then, or perhaps people can do different type of jobs, and the more repetitive jobs can be done by AI.
We can be more...
Or more effective, so that the time can be put into something that needs to have that human touch.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Great. Thank you for sharing that, Brian.
My pleasure. I'll share the system prompt.
I think for us, making ourselves at home, what do you see for this year? Like, I know we didn't discuss maybe, how do you see the program, and how is for you making yourself at home in 2026?
I see us keeping interviewing amazing guests from all over the world and listening to their stories about New Plymouth, perhaps a couple events or one event.
Events are sounding great.
I think events will be nice to bring everyone together.
And I think 2025 was especially a great event at home in our Aotearoa that we did in December, and really enjoyed that, bringing all the guests together. So just very grateful for having you guys, and you know, going with the flow with that idea. So I'm looking forward to do another event this year.
Yeah, and to our listeners, are we developing a survey?
Yeah.
Yep, so we'll be asking the community for input about ideas for the potential programs that we might be trying to organize.
Yeah, this would be great. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to a new year, new guests, as you said, maybe new countries, people from new countries that we did an interview before.
Yeah, that will be interesting.
And I'm looking forward, like, for example, I think we will have next Monday Reina from Indonesia. I don't know if we had somebody from Indonesia before, maybe. Yeah.
We had someone, but I don't remember the name
We had
someone, because I remember her talking about it, and I remember like thinking of my time in Bali.
Your time in Bali, right? Yeah.
Becoming quite nostalgic for me when I was listening to her, but I don't remember, the name has just blurred.
It's funny how the guests kind of just start to blur together.
blur together, and sometimes you stay with the story or what the story makes you feel.
I realized that at the event and started seeing these familiar faces and not remembering the specific story. Their story. Like, it's like, it's tough to keep track of when there's so many faces.
Yeah, and I think a great thing that came after that event, there is a new family who are new in New Plymouth, and after the event that happened there, they were more connected with the community. So they shared with me that they are now feeling much more safer. They had quite a challenging time here in Taranaki, and it's so good to have the community together and meeting people from different countries who are going through similar situations. It's quite nice to feel accepted. Amazing.
I'm really looking forward to just growing the community more. Last year was super exciting and really fun to be a part of, and I feel like we've got this plant that's popped out of the ground, and we're just going to tend to it and give it love and see what it can grow, see the fruit that it can bear.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm. And I was just doing, I was counting how many guests we had, and I saw there were like 38 interviews that we had. In 2025, plus the interviews that we had, maybe just us. So maybe
that's huge.
We did around like 40 episodes in 1 year, which I think it's a hit. We never had so many episodes before. So grateful for that, and grateful for the community and everybody who joined the radio and listened to us. So feeling grateful for 2025 and looking forward to what will happen in 2026. Amazing. So thank you everyone for listening to us. Hopefully it was an insightful show today with the three of us. Thank you, Brian, for leading us and starting the show today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and yeah, thank you, Clara, for your beautiful voice and insights, especially the grapes. I will always remember in the new year I have to have 12 grapes in the to swallow and eat, right?
Yeah. At midnight.
Remember. At midnight, right?
Thank you, Alina. Yeah, it was amazing to be back.
Yeah, amazing to be back, and looking forward to the next interview. So yeah, stay tuned and follow us on Facebook also and Instagram. And looking forward to meet new people around the world.
All right. Take care, everybody. See you
next Monday.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.